Thank you, Marguerite. Strength of a mountain. God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. When God combined these qualities, when there was nothing more to add, he knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen, all of you fathers out there. It's awesome to see you out and everyone out this morning participating in our worship service here at Bethany. So you are certainly welcome. And we also want to welcome those who are joining us online as well with our program. Let's go to our Lord in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, how good it is to come together to worship you with our church family on this beautiful day. We honor our fathers today and thank you for the influence they have had on our lives. We look to you as our Heavenly Father who shows us the way of right living through your word, by the life and teachings of your Son, and by the ever-present encouragement of your Spirit. Bless Pastor Susan as she brings us your message this morning. And Father, we pause to thank her for her service as our pastor and pray that you will continue to bless her as she begins her new assignment. And now, Father, bless our service as we lift our praise to you in word and song. Amen. Well, as Pastor Susan, and actually as all of us, go through a time of transition and change, our first two songs are especially appropriate. Please join us as we sing that great hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, followed by My Hope is in You. Please stand as you're able.
Everlasting arms, what a blessedness, what
Next song doesn't need an introduction as we recognize God's amazing grace that broke the chains of sin and death in our lives. And it happens to be one of Pastor Susan's favorite songs.
Chains are gone, my friends set free, my God, my
Now, we're still prohibited from hugging and giving handshakes. But you can wink and wave and, I don't know whether you can fist bump or not. Fist bump, maybe. But anyway, greet your neighbors out there.
At this time, I'd like to invite all the children to come up for children's time. And I will invite the adults to take their seats. Well, good morning. Good morning. We have two children and one T-Rex up here.
How dare you call me a T-Rex?
Oh. And we have three children and one T-Rex. I stand corrected. So our scripture this morning talks about Jesus being with his disciples in a boat, a little boat. And so they're all in the boat, and Jesus decides to take a nap. And so he goes to sleep, and you know what happens next? The wind starts to blow. And I think the rain comes down. And instead of going like this, the boat starts going like this. And water starts coming into the boat. Would you like to make the boat go up and down? Would you like to? No. Okay. No. Okay. So make it go up and down. We're in a storm. Water's coming in the boat. Uh-oh. Or being attacked. And so they are afraid. You could see why they would be afraid. And so they wake Jesus up and they say, Jesus, we're going to die here. Aren't you concerned? And he stops the storm, or he banishes the T-Rex, and all is well. And he says, didn't you guys have faith? Well, that's kind of a hard question. But it reminds me that even when things are bad, really bad, Jesus is with us. And sometimes we forget he's in the boat, but he's there with us. Oh, well, Jesus would put a stop to that, I'm sure. So just remember, though, when things get scary or you're not sure about what's going to happen next, just remember that you can say a prayer, open your heart, and feel Jesus' presence with you. So let's put our hands together. Dear God, we thank you that you are with us, even in the big storms and all that happens to us. So, Lord, keep us safe. Keep us in love with each other. All this I pray in the name of your Son. Amen. All right, and you guys can go to Children's Church. He's given my boat back? All right, thank you.
The scripture lesson for today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. God of amazing grace, we gather together and we hear your word, not because this is a pleasant way to start our day, but Lord, you know that we come here because we need you. And so as we heard your word read, as we consider what it means, be with us. Let this be your message. Let this be your guiding call to us to live as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was 15, I was going on a trip to the beach with my parents and my best friend. We were going to Lewis, Delaware, so we were doing a long weekend. And when we got there Friday night, it was pouring down rain. There was this big storm, and my dad thought it would be a great idea to take the Cape May ferry from Lewis, Delaware to Cape May, New Jersey, and back because it was raining. Now, my dad was in the Army, not the Navy. And had he been in the Navy, he might have realized that was a bad idea. So we got on the ferry, and there's a big storm, and there's white caps in the water, and we start to leave the dock in Lewis, and the boat is going like this. And my girlfriend and I, we thought it was a great deal of fun. We were going up and down. We had the outside of the boat entirely to ourselves. And, you know, we were going back and forth and holding on to the railings and going up and down the steps. It was more fun than the roller coaster at King's Dominion. Not everyone was enjoying it, though. Sometimes youthful ignorance is bliss. I mean, we made the mistake of starting to go into the ladies' room, and we saw the carnage that was in there, and we turned around and said, "No, not now, not this." So, you know, and that's the thing, is that we, you know, now I'm older and I've heard about boats being swamped and ferries sinking, and I don't know that I would be as carefree now as I was then. But it reminds me, you know, the ferry, it was one of those ferries where you can drive your car on it, so it was a decent-sized ship. But then I think about the kind of boat that Jesus and disciples were probably in. And as a matter of fact, you might be aware that in 1986, they actually found a boat that was buried in the mud of the Sea of Galilee. There was a drought, and the banks of the lake shrunk. And so they were poking around in the, you know, in places they had seen before, and they found this boat that was buried in the mud, and it actually dates from the first century. The mud was able to preserve this boat. It wasn't in great shape. It was, the wood was spongy and falling apart, but it really gave us an idea of what a fishing boat from that time was like. And that boat, the ancient Galilee boat, or as it's more commonly known, the Jesus boat, although probably not Jesus' boat, but it was 27 feet long, 7 feet, 7.5 feet wide, and the preserved height was about 4.3 feet. So it was probably a little taller, probably in the course of 2,000 years, lost some of the height. But if you Google Jesus boat, you'll see a picture of it, and you'll see it seems very small. You know, imagine a small sailboat, the kind that doesn't have a wheel, that has a tiller, and really little or no cabin. So this is what the kind of craft that they're in. And Jesus had been teaching on the bank of the Sea of Galilee, but the crowd gets so big that he has to kind of use a boat as a makeshift platform to speak from. And he's preaching the good news of God's kingdom, you know, wants people to put into practice what he's saying. And the crowd is getting big, and Jesus is teaching in parables, and then sometimes the people don't understand, so he's explaining the parables. And so it goes on. He has a long day. And perhaps exhausted from all of this, he pulls his disciples aside and says to them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. And they happen to be setting sail at the widest point of the Sea of Galilee, from the west to the east. And no sooner do they get out into the lake, this 13-mile lake, Jesus takes a nap. He falls asleep. And so you can imagine the disciples are talking among themselves, and they're maybe trying to, you know, talking about the parables Jesus was teaching to the crowd, or, you know, maybe they're wondering what are they going to do on the other side of the lake, and is it going to be the same? Are there be more crowds? But before they can really get into any of these questions, the swirling hot air rises, the cool air falls, and that calm sea is transformed. The wind begins to blow, the sea begins to get choppy, huge waves start to toss this little boat back and forth. And so what began as just a simple crossing of the lake is now the perfect storm. And there were seasoned fishermen on this boat, but, you know, water starts to come into the boat. Not a good sign. And so probably some of them are looking for things to bail the water out of the boat with, but others decide they need to wake up Jesus. Panic sets in, and they shake him, and they say, Teacher, don't you care about us? Don't you care that we are about to die? And Jesus rises and assesses the situation, and he says calmly to the wind, silence, be still. And just as fast as the storm started, it goes away. The wind dies down. The sea is calm again. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet? The disciples are puzzled, and they ask themselves, ooh, we thought we knew this guy. Who is he? Yes, we know he can teach in parables. We've seen him do some miraculous healing, but only God controls the wind and the sea. We've never seen anything like this. He talks to the water and the wind, and they obey him. Now, Jesus was asleep during a storm in the disciples' lives. And I find that a somewhat troublesome aspect of the text. I'm no longer a thrill-seeking 15-year-old. I've read and heard about too many disaster stories in the news and in books and in movies like The Perfect Storm not to have some fear. And what disturbs me about this text is that it seems like the boat might really sink. People are on it. These disciples might drown, and yet Jesus is asleep. And if I was in the boat, I might wonder if Jesus cared about what was going on in my life. And maybe you've had that same experience. We've all been through storms. And we've been through a storm like none in recent memory. These last, 16, 15 months that have seemed much longer. And I'm sure that Jesus cares. I'm sure that Jesus is in the boat with us. And I am thankful for all the others who have been in the boat with me. I can't express how grateful I am to Dale Roller and Danny Martlock, who, when we could not be in church, had the know-how, the technological know-how that I do not have, to help us put it on Facebook. I am so thankful. I mean, there's so many people to thank. Mary Beth Schwab and Marguerite McDonald and Jackie Dunsmore and Pam Roller for leading us, figuring out how to do worship, for Julie Ritchie and the Ritchies for helping us have the platform when we moved outside. It was kind of fun when we got to go out into the parking lot. I mean, more fun than doing it on Facebook, right? The horn honking was at least a sign that there were living, breathing people out there, and I'm thankful for everybody who got up on the trailer with me and sang or spoke or did children's messages. You know, thankful that we could broadcast that out to the parking lot. Thankful that people showed up, that there were kids waving through the sunroofs of their vehicles. Thankful for everybody who came back. Just, you know, amazing. Thankful for all that gets done to make this happen, for the flowers that are always here. Like elves bring them, but they don't, do they? And even before all of this that people did, I think about just everything that goes into Bethany being Bethany, the food pantry and the missions and all that Bethany does. I have been very fortunate to be here with you. And I'll admit, I'm a little sad that I won't be here for the next chapter. But I do have a favor to ask, that you pray for Pastor Dan, and that when he comes, don't compare him to anybody who came before him. Just let him be Pastor Dan, which I think will be enough. Give him time to find his footing. There might still be some heavy weather ahead. And you and he will go through it together. And so support one another and pray for one another. I was reading this story about a woman named Camille Fletcher. I went down to Baton Rouge, Mississippi. Well, that's Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we were in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, not like within 6 months of Katrina passing through there. And it was devastated. I mean, there was houses off their foundations, houses that had just been swept out to sea. It was just astounding. And so this woman, Camille Fletcher, who was 83 years old, she had made it through Hurricane Katrina. She was in New Orleans. She had been on top of her furniture in her flooded kitchen, trying to stay above the water. And she survived when the waters receded, but her daughter, Gwendolyn, was missing. And she said, "My precious daughter, I prayed to God to keep us safe in his loving care." And she looked up into what was now a blue sky, and she said, "You're supposed to be a loving God. You're supposed to love us. And what have you done to us? Why did you do this to us?" Those are hard questions. In my mind, God didn't send Katrina. Natural forces occurred and brought that big storm and left it sitting over New Orleans and the surrounding areas. The rain came down. But in that moment of anguish, this mother called out to God. And God can take what we throw at God. But as Camilla was waiting there for a moving truck, they were using moving trucks to move people to safer locations, places where there would be food and water and shelter. And as she was waiting for the moving truck to show up and take her and other people downtown, she sat there forlorn until she saw a figure coming, a woman walking out of the water, a woman with long black hair, a little disheveled. And the woman looked over and she said, "Mama?" And Camille shouted, "Oh my God, oh my God, my daughter's alive." And she ran and she kissed her and she looked at her and felt her all over, and she was so thankful that she was alive. And her daughter, who was 59 years old, told her family of how, as she was in her house, she had floated through a wall of her home, and her clothes were ripped away in the torrent. She was swimming, and she made it to a neighbor's house, and she cowered in the neighbor's attic until the waters subsided. And someone had picked them. Well, actually, it wasn't the water subsiding. It was someone picking them up in a boat from where she had been. And so finally, she had made it back to her mom's house. And she said, "You know, it was horrible, but there were millions of stars out." And a few minutes later, it was time for Camille to get into the moving truck and go to the shelter. But as she looked back at her daughter, she smiled and she said, "God is good." The truth is that God was good before and after Camille Fletcher found her daughter. Sometimes we don't recognize the goodness of God when the clouds roll in and the skies darken. Jesus tells his followers to go over to the other side of the lake. But he's present with them. They have to cross over and the way gets choppy and water comes into their boat, but Jesus is with them, even in the disorder. And maybe we've all had a time in our lives where we have wanted to shake our fist at God and shout, "Don't you care about me?" But when I'm ready to say that to God, I remember that I am focusing on the wrong thing. I'm not focusing on my faith. I'm focusing on my circumstances, and God is with me in those circumstances. We've been through the storm. Faith doesn't mean that we can't suffer. Jesus himself suffered and died on the cross while holding on to faith. But faith does mean that we can trust God with our fortune and our future, a future made possible by our faith in God's new creation, by an empty tomb, by the defeat of death. And our water of baptism reminds us that while water was once the sign of chaos in creation, while it was once a sign of death during the flood, in the water of our baptism, it is the sign of life and life everlasting. When we're in the storm, sometimes we forget that. But when the clouds roll away, the sun comes out, may we still be people of faith, people of God, people who are assured that God was with us in our storms. And so whatever we face in the days and months to come, may we share the love God has for us with one another. May we be strong for one another and support one another. May we be the body of Christ to one another. And remember, though our boat may be small, we are not alone. Amen. Well, as I've said, I am thankful for everyone who makes church happen here in the wonderful way that it does. So let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you for all those who give of themselves. Lord, bless what has been given in all the ways that it has been given, so that we might be the body of Christ in the world. Lord, help us to be those who extend your grace beyond these walls and within these walls, so that all may know your love. Amen. Well, we have a few announcements. We are going to be having a church council meeting on July 13th at 6:30. So, not we, you. You all are having that. And of course, we want to remember everyone who's in transition. I guess that's more of a prayer concern as we do the Methodist shuffle. And next week, Russell Heinrich will be delivering the message. And then after that will be Dan Purdom's first Sunday. So do we have other announcements this morning? Okay, well, among our prayer concerns, we want to be in prayer for Leslie Wagner, who's been undergoing tests. Want to be in prayer for the family of Gail Thornberry. She passed away last Monday after fighting COVID. And, of course, we want to be in prayer for Sean Cook, who's going to take up the mantle and serve a church. I know he covets your prayers. And be in prayer for all of those pastors who are retiring or going to new churches or just coming back to the old ones. Keep them in your prayers these next 2 weeks. Do we have other joys or concerns? Yes.
The father still needs prayer because he still has a long road. He's made some progress, but he still has months of recovery, and they're hopeful that he can get one of his knees replaced next month. And he's
going to
need shoulder replacements also.
Yeah, Marguerite was telling me a little bit about that. So yeah, he has he's alive, but he has a long recovery ahead of him. So we'll definitely keep him in our prayers. Yes, Pam.
The bums.
Oh, the bums. Okay, we want to pray for. For our youth, right? Is that?
Yeah.
For their mission trip. Yes, we want to, their down low mission trip, we want to pray for them. Yes.
For my daughter Michelle, who's having some heart and lung issues right now, and also for my nephew Scott, who, cancer has returned after 11 years, and prognosis is not looking really good for him right now. He's going to start chemo on Tuesday, but he really needs his special prayers.
All right. Well, we will be in prayer for your daughter, Michelle, who's having some lung and heart issues, and then for and Scott's your nephew, right? Is that your nephew, Scott, whose cancer has returned? Yeah, I definitely want to be in prayer for him. Any others?
Everybody needs to pray for Wes. He's making a decision to marry me on Thursday. I'm talking to all your prayers.
Yeah, and pray for the pastor who has to hike to the mountaintop. But pray blessings upon Wes and Danny. Any others? Yes.
I have a friend who, and former coworker who unfortunately sustained a spinal cord injury about a month ago now from a stray bullet in Philadelphia. So she has been undergoing rehab. She underwent several surgeries. So I would just ask for prayers for her to continue journey. It's going to be quite a journey for her.
And what's her name?
Amanda.
All right, we will pray for Amanda, who sustained a spinal cord injury by being shot. Wow, we definitely want to pray for her. Any others? All right, let us go to God in prayer. Amazing Creator, you who made us and molded us and shaped us and put your fingerprint on us, Lord, we give you thanks that you call us your own beloved children. And we give you thanks for your faithfulness to us and your presence with us in days that we rejoiced and days we would rather not have faced. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that has inspired us and at times called us to use gifts we didn't even know we had. Lord, we pray this morning for those who are in need of healing. There are serious concerns that we lift up to you today. And we ask for all of those people, not just healing, but that they have strength to endure all that is before them, the courage to know that they can face it with you by their side. Lord, we pray for the pastors who are anticipating moves and going to new places. And we pray for those who are saying goodbye to the pulpit. Lord, we pray that you would be with them and with their churches, that they may receive these new pastors with open arms, open hearts. Gracious God, create in us a willing spirit to do whatever it is you call us to do. For we know that you will give us the strength to do it. Heavenly Father, when we leave this place, send us out as disciples, as people who are united in you, full of your Holy Spirit and your perfect love. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now, let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I think we're doing something outside after the service. So go outside and check it out. I heard a rumor there might be cupcakes. So let us stand as we're able, and we are going to sing It Is Well With My Soul.
Like sea.
now as you go forth, even on the cloudy days, know that Jesus Christ is with you, even if some water gets in your boat. So go forth knowing that you are not alone, that you are loved, adopted, and transformed. Amen.